Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Tuesday, the 22nd of July. Coming up today, we've got some statistics about how many Kent police officers have been signed off due to mental health reasons. And ahead of tonight's Euros clash, we've heard from the Kent FA about how the Lionesses' run in the tournament is inspiring young girls. But first, taking a look at our top story today, and this is one of the most read stories on the website. A Swayo mum says she's desperate to be moved into a larger council home with her six children living in claustrophobic conditions. Rebecca Waller says pigs in a sty live better than they do in their two-bedroom Faversham home. Lucy's got more details for the podcast. She's with me now. Lucy, what's the story here? What can you tell us about Rebecca's living conditions?
Well, Rebecca lives in a semi-detached property in Whiting Crescent that has just two bedrooms. She lives there with her six children who range from 8 to 21 years old. The 44-year-old says three boys sleep in one bedroom while she and the three girls sleep in another, which has been divided into smaller spaces using a temporary wall. Wardrobes and clothes are stored wherever they can fit, and they even have to keep food in the car. Rebecca's told the podcast she grew up in a traditional Roma gypsy community and moved into the property 20 years ago and first contacted the council about upgrading to a larger property 15 years ago.
And when she contacted council, she requested to be moved into the highest band for housing. Can you explain how the system works?
Well, people on Swale Council's housing register are allocated a band based on their level of priority. Rebecca and her family have been classed as Band B, which is the second highest, but they want to be moved up to Band A. Band A are the highest priority and include those with urgent medical needs or disability, where the current housing is having a significant adverse effect. Council have formally reviewed the family's situation and say she is in the correct band.
So council are aware of the situation. What do they have to say?
Well, they say they're doing everything they can to help support the family. A spokesperson confirmed they have reviewed their banding and found it is in line with the current housing allocations policy. They've encouraged Rebecca to keep looking for a mutual exchange, as it would be the quickest way to find alternative accommodation. It comes as the authorities dealing with a housing crisis, with almost 2,000 applications on the housing register, but only 300 homes available each year. Local bosses say they're working with the government to find long-term solutions and will monitor Rebecca's case and offer her the best options they have available.
Thanks, Lucy.
Kent Online News.
Body-worn footage shows prison officers laughing and singing moments before the death of an inmate at a Kent jail. 28-year-old Asroy Dawes Clark from Romford suffered multiple cardiac arrests after being restrained at HMP Elmley on the Isle of Sheppey in November 2021. An inquest found the force used was inappropriate and disproportionate. A man in his 30s has been taken to hospital after being attacked by a stranger outside a pub in Chatham. He suffered a facial injury after leaving the Wagon at Hale on Capstone Road on Friday night. The suspect left the scene, but officers later arrested a 34-year-old man. He's been released on bail while investigations continue. A man's been taken to hospital following an assault in Folkestone. The victim was walking along North Road when he challenged a cyclist about riding on the pavement. He was reportedly then pushed from behind and fell to the floor, suffering facial injuries. Investigators are still trying to track down the suspect. A Darrenth man who was a passenger in a stolen car as it went for a joyride has been banned from driving for 5 months. The orange Ford Fiesta had been taken from Greenhithe. It was spotted by officers being driven through Gravesend on January 27th. 18-year-old Danny King from Ridgeway must do 100 hours of unpaid work, attend rehab and pay more than £400. Now, it's been revealed 320 Kent police officers were signed off from work last year for mental health reasons. That's an increase of 5% on the previous year. Neil Menny is the Kent Police Federation chair. He's been speaking to Abigail Hook from KMTV. He says those figures could just be the tip of the iceberg.
I think there's a combination of things at play here. So we've seen a year-on-year increase, sadly, over the last few years. I think mental health has probably become one of those areas that we've got much better at talking about, but I still suspect that there is a certain amount of stigma attached to it. And in fact, one of my concerns is that these figures are still probably not as high as they should be. And by that, I mean, I have a suspicion that a number of officers are either feel there's too much stigma or too embarrassed to come forward, or indeed are masking their mental health sickness by utilising other means of sickness.
So we don't have data for any other emergency services, but for instance, what is it that Kent Police faces compared to other emergency services where we are seeing negative impacts on mental health?
I think comparators are always very, very difficult. Our colleagues in the other emergency services also do difficult and demanding jobs, you know, and colleagues in paramedics certainly, I know, are not doing particularly well. But I think with policing, it's such a huge and wide variety of work. There are officers in all sorts of roles exposed to all sorts of traumatic stuff. And I think that's what makes it very, very unique. You know, we may have officers at one end who are dealing with very, very difficult scenes on the street, often scenes of violence, upsetting scenes, road traffic crashes. At the other end of the spectrum, we may have officers who are exposed to very difficult material, such as child pornography and everything in between. So the environment is very unique. And I think when we combine the pressures of work, which in policing are already very high, the workloads, which are also very high, and of course, in common with others, we're currently in an economic crisis, which means that some of our colleagues are struggling to go about their daily lives in terms of whether that's meeting bills and all the rest of it. So I suspect that there's certainly some elements of both at play, even if it's one or the other. So this is unprecedented. We've got all of those difficulties, and it's really important that when officers aren't at work, they have the ability to decompress and literally park those worries. And I'm afraid we just don't get the sense that that's happening these days. And that's a real concern.
And while there are concerns for the police force and those impacted, especially those within these figures that we've got today, questions from the public, whom to which the Kent Police Force does serve, will be what impact does this have on the force's ability to function overall? What do you do when 320 members of staff aren't able to be in doing their jobs?
I think the testament to my colleagues that the public probably won't see too much of a difference, because, you know, our colleagues are working flat out with those high demand workloads. And also they want to support those colleagues who are unwell. So we're very fortunate in Kent Police, I should say. We do have an excellent occupational health department. And indeed in Kent, there is the ability to contact a 24/7 crisis line called the Employee Assistance Programme. So in terms of services that Kent Police provide, they're doing marginally better, I would suggest, than some other forces. And also the Police National Wellbeing Service have literally just launched a mental health crisis line for police officers. And it's really, really important that officers are able to engage those services without fear. Some of those services are completely separate from the police, so they must have the confidence to come forward so that they don't feel that there's going to be some kind of pressure or some kind of sign of weakness. We have to get over that. We're still not at the stage where we treat physiological injury the same as mental health injury. And it's quite obvious to all of us, if someone's broken an arm or a leg, they're going to need recuperation, they're going to need looking after. And really, I'm not quite sure we're there at the same level with those suffering with mental health conditions and that fear of them coming forward and talking about those issues.
The National Police and Wellbeing Service has launched a 24-hour mental health crisis line to help address the increase. Meanwhile, it's claimed the recruitment of more police officers in Kent is putting pressure on the Crown Court system. Our reports revealed the caseload at Maidstone is 247% higher than average, while Canterbury is 102% above usual rates. A police and crime panel has been told how more officers has led to more people entering the criminal justice system, adding to a backlog that already built up after COVID.
Kent Online News.
Crews have managed to put out a vehicle blaze on a business park near Whitstable. Four fire engines were sent to the John Wilson Estate in Chestfield yesterday. A smoke warning has now been lifted. We're being advised not to swim in the sea at several Kent beaches following recent heavy rain. Sewerage is thought to have been discharged from the storm overflow pipes yesterday. There are concerns about water quality at Herne Bay, Tankerton and parts of Margate. A working party has been appointed to explore options for funding the Gravesend to Tilbury ferry. The service was scrapped last year after funding cuts. Local businesses say they've seen a loss in trade, and some critics say it's put extra pressure on road links. More than 2,400 people have signed a petition to see it reinstated. Bosses are now looking at other funding partners. Residents at an over 50s park home complex in Wateringbury have lashed out at plans to change their bin collection service. Currently, people living at the Retreat Mobile Home Park have it individually individual waste bin for each caravan, which is collected every Tuesday. Bosses at Maidstone have suggested people put their rubbish in one big bin at the front of the site instead. Keith Reardon lives there. He says he and a lot of his neighbours have mobility problems.
Been here just over 8 years and everything was fine. In the last 2 years, I've been deteriorated. I'm under high blood pressure tablets and under the doctor. I've applied and got attendance allowance. I've had Kent County Council involved down at Mason come here. They recommended that I get attendance allowance. I've got a walking stick and a crutch. And there's no way I'm going to be able to walk up to there with carrying black sacks in my condition. I've got a smashed leg in the 60s, which has never healed properly. It's half inch shorter than the left one. But with that aside, so you come here every Tuesday and we've got the waste bags on the lawn there and they pick it up. And they come in a smaller truck because I know it's a bit narrow here. But I can't see the point why there's so many people on this site are worse than me that they're not going to be able to do it. So therefore, either the people that are able to can help them, or why should we? We pay a council tax. I paid it up to a few months ago till I got tenants allowance. I don't pay it anymore because I don't have to. I'm pension credit. I'm 76, an old 76 at the moment. And, you know, I'm a bit disgusted with it. We pay our council tax. I've worked all my life. I've worked right up to 70 years of age. But what I'm annoyed with is the fact that not so much me, but there's people on here where no way can get to that top car park with their black sacks without struggling. Well, they just can't do it because the chap over there, he's bedridden. His carer's coming in, he's had a stroke. And Dave, opposite there, he's got throat cancer, not long to live. Fred's pretty agile, but he's had two hips and a kidney out. We're all getting older. Hence the name of this park, Retreat. That's what it's designed for. People over 55 years in age and older who want to retire here peaceful. And now this is bumshell's been dropped on our lap.
Council say the proposed changes are part of ongoing discussions with the park owner to review and improve the system. The new scheme would also allow residents to recycle, which they're currently not able to do.
Kent Online News.
It's been revealed the local government offices at the centre of a £7.7 million green refit are only valued at £4 million. Maidstone Council are looking to spend the money on new heating and air circulation systems, additional insulation and solar panels at the building in King Street. It's been described as a totally inappropriate use of public funds, but bosses warned if nothing is done, the building won't comply with government emissions regulations by 2030. Plans to close household waste recycling centres in Kent have been scrapped. The former Conservative leaders at KCC were considering shutting sites in Faversham, Tovell, Deal, Richborough, Dartford and Swanley. It's thought the move would have saved £1.5 million. The new reform bosses say all facilities are now safe. A planned road closure in Medway has been called off after villagers complained it would cut them off and cause dangerous traffic. SGN were due to shut Town Road just before Cliff Woods from July 28th until August 10th. Permission has been revoked. Council say the proposals are being reassessed. Now, a Kent youth club has been telling us about the importance of providing activities for young people over the summer holidays to prevent antisocial behaviour. There have been reports of underage drinking and fights in areas including Thanet recently. Pyfadrick Music in Ramsgate is calling for more investment in clubs that run sessions for the under-25s. Lucy's been chatting to Zoe Karasik, who's their CEO.
I think we know now that the young people involved in those specific incidents in Broadstairs a couple of weeks ago were actually from out of area and had travelled down to the seaside to cause disruption. So I just want people to be really clear that these aren't necessarily young people from Thanet treating their home place in that with that lack of respect. But it is indicative of a wider picture of where I think young people are at and being viewed by young people, by other people in society, and this chronic disinvestment in youth work that we've seen over the last 15 years now, which has really led to a level of apathy, feelings of being completely lost, disregarded, not taken seriously and not listened to by a generation of young people who are turning into adults now. So I think people have every right to be questioning the local authority and powers that be about the role that they are playing in these young people's lives and what level of service is now being offered to these young people, because You know, these young, this generation has experienced a lot. They've come up through COVID. They've come into a world of real uncertainty, of massive disinvestment into statutory services across the board, the highest rates of youth unemployment in the country. You know, so there's a lot, I think, that that a lot of questions that it throws up about how the size of the society that these young people are growing up into, that I think need to be asked.
Yeah, and of course, a lot of these cuts to youth services are to save money. But I mean, is that a kind of a long-term fix? Because then money is then put into tackling the antisocial behaviour.
Well, I think that's exactly the right point, that widely across statutory services, the cuts to commissioned youth services that we had last year were seen as a massive false economy and a real sort of distraction from the root cause of the issue. And actually, you're absolutely right that that the cuts to youth services will lead to increased costs in policing, in social services, in education provision, in health provision for young people. So I had colleagues in the police, I had colleagues in schools reach out to us after the cuts to commissioned youth services were made and saying, this is dreadful for us. This is going to add to an increased workload to us. The impact of this on young people will be huge, and possibly not in the short term, although maybe we are starting to see that now, but certainly in the long term, I think the council will realise that this was a big, big mistake. Studies have shown that for every £1 invested in youth work, society sees an investment of £3 to £6 back in terms of what is saved to other statutory services like youth justice, health, education. All the research shows that you're not saving any money by making cuts to youth services. You are just kicking the can down the road in terms of poor outcomes in young people's lives.
Kent Online News.
Hospices in Kent are among those who will receive a share in £2.8 million for major upgrades. It's to help with investment in specially adaptable beds, communal lounges and solar panels to help reduce energy costs. Demelza near Sittingbourne, Eleanor in Northfleet and Heart of Kent Hospice in Maidstone are among the five sites in the county to benefit. The daughter of a Kent PCSO who was murdered near Dover has raised £10,000 to help tackle violence against women. Julia James was killed while she walked her dog in Snowdown in 2021. A 21-year-old man was jailed for life. Bethan Coles, who lives in Folkestone, ran a 53-kilometre ultramarathon over the weekend. The money will go to the White Ribbon Trust. The full route for September's Baton of Hope relay through Kent and Medway has been revealed. The Olympic torch-style baton will be passed to volunteers as they make their way through Gillingham, Rochester, Maidstone, Canterbury and Margate. It's to raise awareness of suicide prevention. You can see the details, including a list of baton carriers at Kent Online. And Pink Panthers is getting an honorary degree from the Uni of Kent today. The singer, who grew up in Canterbury, is being made a Doctor of Music. Local author Sir Michael Morpurgo, who wrote War Horse, will also become a Doctor of Letters at the ceremony at Canterbury Cathedral.
Kent Online Sports.
Football up first, and we've been hearing how much of an inspiration the Lionesses are to young footballers in Kent. England are playing Italy in the semi-final of the Women's Euros tonight with Maidstone's Alessia Russo in the squad. Bartholomew Hall from our colleagues at KMTV has been speaking to Sam Buttress, who's the Football Development Officer from Women and Girls at the Kent FA.
We're extremely proud to produce one of our own competing in the England for England at the moment. It's hugely inspiring for our women and our girl players, so... yeah, very exciting to have her there.
Definitely. And look, I think the competition is so strong, it's not going to be easy to get back and maybe reproduce what they did in 2022. And do you think they've got the willpower to do it, though?
I certainly do think they have. I mean, they've got huge heart. It hasn't been easy right from day one, has it? I mean, look how good France were. We've certainly had a run for our money, but they've done really well. You know, they focused and they're ready to go, I think. So, yeah, absolutely. Very exciting.
Yeah, of course. And I'm sure lots of people watching on will be hoping that the journey that they're doing now will be like it was in 2022. And if they do manage to win it again, it will inspire another generation of young players. Is that something that you've seen over the past few years from that 2022 win?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Since the last win in 2022, we've seen a huge influx of women and girls that are wanting to get into football. So from beginners to women that have been perhaps playing in the past and want to come back into football. And also those women that haven't really had the chance when they were younger to play and now are inspired to join in and start playing.
It must be a completely new era for you at the Kent FA. I know you've got lots of schemes going on that people can get involved in, and we'll get on to the ins and outs of that. But for yourselves and the work that you're doing, there must be, you know, a lot more demand now. So you're having to rethink your approach to women's football.
Absolutely. It's got really, really busy, especially in the last few years, different things that have been happening. For instance, within the Kent FA, we've had to recruit more people to help, to be working alongside myself, especially to cope with that demand that we've got of women and girls getting into football now.
Kick-off for the game tonight is at 8. Staying with football, and Gillingham will be hoping to find some form ahead of another pre-season friendly tonight. They're travelling to take on Ebbsfleet United. It follows a disappointing result over the weekend when they lost 2-0 to Luton Town. Goalkeeper Glenn Morris spoke to reporters after that match. He says they're facing a tough run through to the end of pre-season.
There'll be tough games. I know that Ebbsfleet have got a real strong squad, and I think they'll fancy to put a bit of a show on themselves. So it'll be a tough game, and we'll have to be right at it on Tuesday. And then obviously then we go into the week before the season at Dartford, and you know we sort of want to start to come into our peak at that point and see where we're at. But yeah, like I said, we don't want to look too far ahead. Just tick off the training days, tick off the next day, and think about, you know, the games when they come. But yeah, at the minute, like I said, we're in a good place.
Manager Gareth Ainsworth also spoke after the Luton game. He's told reporters he's ready for the season to start.
I don't like pre-season. I really don't, because you can't go into depth on a team, really. You don't start your analysis and looking at, and you know, you don't get a real feel for it means everything. You know, you can pull out of the odd challenge that's how pre-season has gone, really, over the modern era of football, you know. So I can't wait to get stuck into the league, honestly. I really can't, where everything means everything. Every tackle, every header, every run, every cross, every finish, it means everything. And that's what I'm looking forward to. Like I say, pre-season is all about the numbers, the sports science, the injuries, and making sure we've got a real fit squad going into that game. And we will be, you know. I trust my staff. They've been really good with the players. I'm desperate to get unleash some stuff, you know. And we're working on little things here and there, but until it really matters, it's tough. So yeah, two more games to go, and then thank God we can get into the season, which I'm looking forward to.
Taking a look at tennis now, and Kent's Emma Raducanu has won her doubles match at the Washington Open. She teamed up with Elena Rybakina, and they won in three sets in the round of 16. The 22-year-old from Orpington gets her singles campaign underway later, taking on Ukraine's Amatya Kostyuk this evening. To cricket, and Kent have agreed a contract extension with batsman Tawanda Mie. The 24-year-old, who's performed well for the county in recent matches, will now stay until at least 2027. It follows news yesterday that Nathan Gilchrist is leaving Kent. He'll join Warwickshire at the end of the season. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Blue Sky. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Kate Faulkner, all one word, at the checkout, you get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.